The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
That was a beautiful weekend, wasn't it? No, seriously, no, it was a beautiful weekend. If you had a chance to go out with your family and, you know, attend any of these marches, you heard the C word, you heard the F word, the P word, the S word, the D word. I could play some of it, but the FCC would fine me if I even showed you some of the signs that were brandished at the women's marches across the country this weekend. But you get the picture. Have you tried to even watch a TV show with your kids? I mean, anything off network? I mean, who knew The Odd Couple was on again? I had no idea. Matthew Perry, I guess, has done the third season of The Odd Couple. It's been... Who knew? Did you know that, Stu?
I remember it starting.
No, I didn't even hear that it started. But anyway, it's going on. And I'm like, okay, finally a show we can watch with the kids. Nope. The A word is all over it. Thank you. I you know... If you went to the marches with your daughters, and I know I'm speaking outside of this audience, but the vulgarity, the disgusting display of the women's marches across the country was appalling for so many reasons. The worst was how many moms exposed their children to such rage and hatred. Kids have no idea what's going on. Kids have no idea. You're teaching them that this is who we are. I don't think parents know what's going on, quite honestly. Just for a second, think about what you're teaching your daughters. What was the message at the Women's March? Something between I hate Trump and stay away from our genitalia. I think. I don't know. That's not really productive. What are you for? If those who attended the Women's March really cared about women's rights, perhaps they would have spent a few minutes, just a few minutes, considering the march of life. The message was clear. The message was noble. Let more women be born. The March for Lifers are literally trying to save the lives of millions of women. The women's marchers are marching to complain about Donald Trump. They are being used. Millions of women are being used for the next election. That's it. Save women. Let women be born. Complain about Donald Trump. You tell me which one's more heroic. Which one do you want your children to hear?
It's Monday, January 22nd. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I don't know the last time my blood pressure was this high. It's not going to be a healthy day for me.
I've noticed that the pre-show meeting today was, I would say, on edge, perhaps would be the description.
Now tomorrow, I hope to feel differently, but today... And all through the weekend, I am so tired of the media. I am so tired of giving people the benefit of the doubt, of looking towards and looking for the better angels among us, because I don't see them. There are so many important things going on. Did you hear about the FBI this weekend? If you heard about the FBI this weekend, you probably weren't watching the news. You were probably reading it from a right-wing news site. Because, God forbid, anyone on the left actually reports the news that the FBI looks to be totally corrupt. Now, this coming from a guy who thinks there is something to be found with the Russia investigation on both sides. But when I read what the FBI agent who changed the language of the decision on Hillary Clinton, what he was texting back and forth to his girlfriend, his lover, what he was saying to her about Donald Trump. We already know that they needed an insurance policy. We already have that text. The text that came out this weekend and the fact that the FBI deleted 9,000 text messages between them is disturbing at best. But is the media on that? No. No, no, of course not. No, 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 no. I am a fan and a supporter of Jake Tapper. I am a fan. I'm probably the only one on the right that is left as a fan and a supporter of Jake Tapper. What was Jake Tapper talking about this weekend with all of the things that are going on? CNN correspondent with Jake Tapper, Tom Foreman, noted that during a governmental shutdown in 2013, NASA was unable to monitor, quote, a potentially dangerous asteroid for more than 2 weeks. A big one, by the way, is expected to brush by Earth on February 4th. Okay, let me just tell you this. You call us fear-mongering? You call us fear-mongers? You say that we stir the population up? You're talking about an asteroid that might hit the Earth February 4th? First of all, it's not going to hit the Earth February 4th. And second, if it does hit the Earth, we're not going to know about it in advance anyway. All the government, they could all be working on it full time. They're not going to tell us. How many times have we ever read or seen? Somebody always says, can't tell the people, they'll just panic. You're going to know that an asteroid's going to hit the Earth as the asteroid hits the Earth. But we've made it for quite some time without a life-killing asteroid hitting us. The last time, let's think back, was, that's right, the dinosaurs. And we're not even sure if that was an asteroid, but we're pretty sure it was an asteroid that killed all the dinosaurs. Okay. I think we're going to be okay in the next 2 weeks, Jake. I think we're going to be okay. I don't think we need to worry about those Earth-killing asteroids during this shutdown.
I will say the Eagles are in the Super Bowl, so if they're leading in the fourth quarter, an asteroid probably will hit the planet.
Congratulations, by the way. We thought about you all night.
Thank you. That's why it's hard for me to be upset today, as upset as you are. The whole government could melt to the ground right now, and I don't care.
You know what? I just... What is happening to us? What is happening to us? Our entire culture is going away. Our entire culture. And the media... Okay, this is what really set me off. Are you familiar with the Scotty Vest people?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, remember, they were big advertisers of ours.
Right, yeah. So,
yeah, Scotty Vest. Yeah.
Right?
Who are they? Who do they target, Stu, so to speak?
If they advertise on this network, right? They're
right.
Like it's a vest that, if I remember correctly, has like lots of cool pockets and places to store firearms.
Mm.
That's a big part of their advertising campaign.
Yeah. So, did you know last week that Scotty Vest, what's his name, Jordan Scott or whatever his name is, he felt comfortable enough to go out on Facebook and say, you know what, I see people up at the ski lifts wearing my vest, and I'll say, where did you hear about us? And they'll say, Fox News. And I just laugh. I tell them, you know, I only advertise on Fox News because you guys, the audience, is so gullible and stupid, you'd buy anything. Really? Really?
Really?
Wow. Really? Now, I tried to do my homework because I didn't want to just retweet that. I mean, it happened last week. I didn't want to just retweet that the first time I saw it, so let's look into it. Is it true? Because he removed it from Facebook. So all you have is the word of somebody, and you can mock up Facebook.
Sure.
Okay. Can I find any credible source? Can I find any source on the left that would have no reason to print that other than it's big news? Yeah, no. No, they didn't even print it. Didn't even print it. Didn't cover it as a story.
Well, is that because it's not real?
No, it's absolutely real. You go to scottyvest.com or whatever the hell their email or their website is, and they've commented on it. Okay? So, the duplicity here. And this is really what set me off. Listen to me carefully, media. You want to know why Donald Trump won? That's a prime example. Right there. A prime example. Did you read about the family with the 13 kids that had been, you know, chained into the basement that they found last week? Did you see the update on it over the weekend where they were... Where the children talked about the torture, the mental torture that this couple did. And what they would do is, if the kids were really, really hungry. Now, remember, the 29-year-old female left her confinement at 87 pounds. So they were always hungry. So mom and dad would go out and they would get a pumpkin pie and an apple pie. And they would put it just out of reach of the children. You want some pie, kids? This is so good. And they would never give them any of the pie, but they would leave it there so they could see it, so they could smell it, but they could never eat it. And they mocked them. I contend that that's what the GOP has done to Middle America. That's what the media has done to Middle America. That's what politicians, what Hollywood, and everybody else like Scotty Vest has done to Middle America. And I'm sick of it. I am sick of it. I tolerate you. I tolerate the people. And I even make friends. And I have friends with people on the left. I respect them. I don't mock them. I even defend them. Even though I don't understand them, I try to understand. Now, there was a time that I was absolutely certain they were morons. There was a time that I was absolutely certain that they are anti-American liars. And I'm talking about, you know, the people who disagree with me. I'm not talking about the actual liars. But I have tried to look at everybody at where they are. What has happened in their life? What is their upbringing? What is their education? And I've tried to understand them. And I've tried to accept them for where they are. Can we get anybody on the other side that will do the same? Or are you just bilking the middle of America? Are you just using us for your ratings and for your money? Because that's all you're doing to us. You're marketing us. We're a collection of sheep to you. And you don't care if we're slaughtered or not. We're not even people to you. We're just a bunch of rubes that will buy your products. We're just a bunch of rubes that will be your fan. We're just a bunch of rubes that will watch your television show, will vote for you as you promise us. Oh, you want that? Oh, I want that too. My gosh, wouldn't that be great? I'll tell you what, we're going to repeal Obamacare. I'm going to go out and get that right now. And I'm going to set it just like that pie, just out of reach. And then when I have the power, I'll remind you that you're in chains, and then I'll just mock you. I, for one, am done. Actually, let me rephrase. I'm done with those kinds of people. I'm just done with the game. I'm not going to play your game or accept your game. Not, wait, I'll be like the all-important left. Hashtag, not another dime. Not another moment. But I wanted to rephrase because I don't mean that. I mean that literally. I don't mean that I'm done right now, because I have a lot more to say today. So, for those of you watching CNN, and you know that asteroid could hit us by February 4th, good heavens, we're all going to die. Let me now scaremonger you into being prepared. Isn't that right? Isn't that what they told us? That we only tell you to be prepared because we're trying to scare you that everything is going to come undone. I don't think I've ever told you about an asteroid coming to hit us by February 4th. This society is breaking down. The center will not hold unless people start to come together quickly. And I don't know how to get there. I will tell you that I would prepare, because February 4th, we're all going to die from an asteroid. Get your 102 serving survival food kit right now. It will last up to 25 years in storage for only $99. God knows what this society is doing a year from now. This will ship free to your home, includes healthy, flavorful food, variety of breakfasts, lunch, and dinner. Breakfasts, lunch, and dinner. You'll sleep better. Oh. You'll sleep better knowing that you're prepared during an unexpected emergency. So call 1-800-271-63 or order online at preparewithglenn.com. That's preparewithglenn.com. Do it now.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
I mean, I don't know why and how the media can be this blind. They really don't know.
Well, how is Donald Trump elected? We've done some real soul searching.
Because everyone is mocking the center of the country. They've mocked and used and lied to us for God knows how long. And this is the first guy to stand up who says, I'm with them, in a way that his punch matters. You know, remember, Mitt Romney was the worst guy on the planet. My gosh, Mitt Romney, he's got files of women. You couldn't have had an easier go than Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney wasn't really a conservative. You couldn't have had an easier go, but you made him into the devil himself when you knew and we knew he wasn't. Okay. So what happens? It just gets worse and worse and worse until a fighter stands up. Until somebody stands up and says, oh, I'm with them. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. That's why they're loyal to him. You can't see that? America is loyal, 35% loyal to him, because they're tired of being punched in the face. They're tired of being taken for granted. They're tired of not counting. They're tired of being called a racist. They're tired of being called a hater, a bigot. They're tired of being called a stupid Christian. They're tired of it. Most of all, they're tired of being used. They're just tired of it. You can only use people for so long. Once people wake up to the fact that, oh my gosh, you've been using me. You've been mocking me behind my back all this time. And then I took it because I thought we were friends. Holy cow.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
I do not mean to inflict him on you, just to rile you up. I'm sorry to inflict him on you, because I think a point needs to be made to the media. This is Rob Reiner at the Women's March this weekend.
We were all here a year ago for many different reasons. But one of the unifying reasons was we were scared. We were scared of who was going to enter the White House. A year has gone by, and he has corroborated every one of our fears. And we cannot whitewash this anymore. We have a racist in the White House. We have a sexist in the White House. We have a pathological liar in the White House. And he is tearing away at the fabric of our democracy. And when we all came together last time, we had the power, and it's the women.
Okay, stop. Do you remember 828? Do you remember going to Washington? Do you remember this time? And do you remember that the media was looking for signs? They were looking for anything. They needed a sign that said Barack Obama is a Marxist. They needed it. Barack Obama is a liar. We want our government back, because that was proof that you were out of control, nuts. You were a revolutionary. You were anti-government, and you were a racist. They're just fear-mongering. And what happened? We gathered, and the press didn't even notice. They still tried to make it about something else. Not once did they say, wow, maybe there's something else happening here. Maybe this is about something bigger than just Barack Obama. Nope. They could not do it. Imagine had I given that exact speech on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. Imagine if I said half of those things on that day. What would have happened to me? They are so certain that they are right. They lack all self-reflection. I want to give you a little montage here, because I learned a lesson. You cannot think out loud. You can't question. You can't look at somebody's record of life. You can't look at their words. Well, that's just the way white people will do you. You can't look at their books. Well, my grandmother had it bred into her to fear black people. You can't look at the record of where they went to church, Jeremiah Wright. And you can't look at what they're doing. The police acted stupidly. and say, you know what? I think this guy has a problem with race. You can't do that. You're a racist if you ask, is the president racist? Does the president have some racist tendencies? Is the president misinformed? Is the president out of step with regular America? Oh my gosh, what's regular America? How dare you? You mean white America, don't you? You're a racist. That's exactly what happened. God forbid you do that. Or is it suddenly okay?
I'm not saying that he doesn't like white people. I'm saying he has a problem. He has a, this guy is, I believe, a racist.
Glenn Beck in the news.
How is it possible that this guy can sit on national television and call the president of the United States a racist?
This president sees everything through a racial prism. And may even have his own racist
beliefs. I wish we would just stop this. Glenn Beck and people like that need to stop
this. The notion that Donald Trump reinforces his animus, his racially driven animus, his racism, that he demonstrates it over and over again from the Oval Office.
You know, throwing out the R word, the racist word, and some other words are conversation stoppers. We're never going to get past the point where the Glenn Becks of the world will just hurl that out at people.
What more do we need to see or hear from this racist man? Not only is he racist, he is an embarrassment.
These are the birthers.
Yes.
This is the narrative.
But they want
the man to fail.
Yes.
And now they're labeling him, hey, he's a racist.
But it doesn't make what he said any less ignorant or any less racist. Not racial, not racially charged racist.
As long as Glenn Beck is out there calling the president a racist or anyone else a racist, we're never going to get past this point of constantly reacting to racial flare-ups.
Do you think President Trump is a racist?
I think he is a racist.
I see it with both Glenn Beck and with Rush Limbaugh. These guys with really suspect racial feelings and perceptions are projecting their own hate and their own divisiveness.
And it's the same sentiment, Chris, and it's something that virtually everyone recognized right away. It is racism.
It's such a blunt object of racism when you say racism. It's a big charge.
Oh, it's a huge, I find it awful. I think you have to be very careful.
And then
with
secondly,
it.
There's the racial angle. I don't think there's any getting away from the color of people from Norway as opposed to people coming from Haiti, Africa.
I think a lot of that is simple grandstanding, making outrageous statements, provocateur.
Refuse to show any moral courage when it comes to standing up to the racist comments made by the president of the United States.
I can't even believe it, first of all. Glenn Beck owes the president an apology. He owes the American people an apology.
We take this additional, very clear racist thing. He's an evil man.
This is an insult to our democracy, our way of life.
We have to start calling things what they are. We have to stop asking if this person is a racist because the evidence is there. He
and
is.
I hate giving someone who says something like that any more attention. Outrageous is one way of putting it. I would say irresponsible.
If you put Haiti next to Norway, as Donnie said, is a black and white issue, the way the president laid it out yesterday.
If someone on the left had called George Bush a racist on TV, would we be throwing our hands up? Would we be so outraged?
Yes.
Would we demand an apology?
Yes.
We would?
I would. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
I would. Sure.
Yes.
Simply Safe Home Security. I've worked with Simply Safe since they've had 10 employees. I have watched them transform into the fastest growing home security company in the nation. They now protect over 2 million people. I love their story. It's just a group of people who set out to say, this is wrong. It doesn't have to be this hard. My gosh. Life doesn't have to be this hard. That's kind of what they're doing. It doesn't have to be this hard. It doesn't have to be so complex. You don't have to have contracts with everything. You don't have to wire everything. They have completely redesigned their system now. They have added new safeguards to protect against power outages, downed Wi-Fi, cut landlines, even bats and hammers. I want to bring one of these in and just beat it with a bat and a hammer. They have done everything they can to make this the safest, practically invisible, most powerful sensor so you and your family stay safe. Everything is so small and so compact and darn near invisible that you won't notice, but I don't think the guys trying to break in will notice until it's too late. What's remarkable to me is Simply Safe has added so much and come so far. You're going to love it, but it's still the same fair and honest price. It's about $15 a month, $14.99 a month. There's no contract. It's smaller, it's faster, it's stronger than anything they've ever built before. Supply is limited. Go right now to simplysafebeck.com to order. That's simplysafebeck.com.
Glenn Beck, Mercury.
It's such a strange thing that we do. We've spent so much time looking on the internet to try to make sure we get the best values. You know, if you've got a vacuum cleaner you're buying, you're looking at one site. Oh, it's $20 cheaper on that other site. If you've got a $100 thing, you're trying to make sure you can get it for $80. And all that stuff's important. It's important to look for good values. But then when it comes down to the biggest investment that we have, your home, buying or selling a home, what do? A lot of times we kind of just like trust that friend of a friend of a friend who you kind of know or met once at a party and seemed mildly enjoyable when you were standing in front of the guacamole. But I mean, I don't know. Is that a good reason to give them your business when you're talking about selling a house? Selling a house is not mindless. It's not just putting up a sign in front of the doors and a couple of open house signs anymore. That's not what it is. It's a tough environment. It's a tough market. And, you know, if you want to sell your home, you need to go with someone who's been screened, who you know is a really good agent. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com is the place to go to get this information. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com is a network of over 1,200 agents from all over America that Glenn Beck and his team himself have gone through and screened because Glenn and Tanya had problems selling one of their houses, and they wanted to make this process easier for everyone who listens to the show. And that's what these agents do. They listen to the show too. If you need to sell a house fast and for the most money, if you're looking to buy, go to realestateagentsitrust.com. Realestateagentsitrust.com. You'll get you the best agent in your area. It's realestateagentsitrust.com.
Glenn Beck.
Investigators in both the House and the Senate were stunned Friday afternoon after receiving a batch of newly released texts between the FBI officials, Peter, how do you say his name, Sturzok, and Lisa Page. These two were...
I'll never get used to the Lisa Page thing, which, by the way, is the air name of my wife who's on radio, except P-A-I-G-E. But every time the story comes up, Lisa Page, everyone texts my wife, and it's not my wife. My wife, as far as I know, did not have an affair with an FBI agent. I'd like to know that, if that's accurate. But as far
as
making
it a lot easier if her name, if you're having an affair with a woman the same name as your wife,
right? I mean, it would be at least it would give me a little bit of attention.
So, in the newly released texts, they discuss Trump winning the Republican presidential nomination, which they said would create pressure on the FBI to quickly finish up the Hillary Clinton email investigation, known inside the bureau as the midterm exam or MYE. Holy crap, one of them, a page is texting, and it wasn't that, but Cruz just dropped out of the race. What? You heard it right, my friend. I saw Trump won, figured it would be a bit. Now the pressure really starts to finish MYE. It sure does. Trump simply cannot be president. Now, we know that they said that they had a meeting at the FBI that talked about that Trump couldn't be the president, and they had to have some sort of insurance. Well, what insurance is that? Well, the FBI accidentally deleted 9,000 texts. They, you know, gosh, we didn't know that we should have saved all that stuff.
Do you ever have that where you sometimes, you know, if you're falling asleep while you're working on something and your head kind of falls down on the keyboard and it lands on the delete button?
All and then, the time.
Right, and then you delete, let's say, 9,000 files. It happens to me
if it's happened, bi-weekly. If it's happened once to me, it's happened once. that doesn't happen, but it seems to happen because the last time we had deleted files was Hillary Clinton, and then the time before that was the investigation into the IRS. They seem to lose a lot of files, but only when people on the Democratic side are under investigation.
Yeah, because they're looking into our stuff all the time.
Oh, yeah. No, they've got us. They haven't lost a text that you've written.
No.
Not one.
It's pretty embarrassing. Look, there's a line here, right? Just because someone says, if an FBI agent in a private conversation says something negative about the president, that is not a reason that they can't be an FBI agent. You know, if 50% of the country has been saying negative things about Donald Trump. So, you know, you can't just say that we can only have investigations on Donald Trump by his supporters. I mean, that's just as ridiculous. But there is a line here that seems to have been crossed. It's not about just opposing the president or thinking his policies are bad. It's about mapping out strategies to undermine him if he were to win. That's a big difference, right? It's not just
That's
not
called treason.
Him, right?
I mean, I can't define it any other way than treason. You are working to thwart the president of the United States, whom you think is bad. That's treason.
Especially if you have a sworn duty on the other side of that. I mean, again, finding the, you know, if you believe someone's committed a crime, you have to look at these things. And we have to look at all of this in context. You know, if it's just an offhanded comment he's making to his what I guess was a fling, you know, that's one thing. And you can say that doesn't necessarily mean they went ahead with an insurance policy. Right. We don't know that. We need to know that.
But do you
trust? I don't trust the judgment of someone who's going to say that.
I don't trust the FBI. One investigator was asked about this on Friday. They said, quote, very suspicious. It's hard to believe. When asked to rate his trust of the FBI on a scale of 1 to 10, he quickly answered 0. Now, I don't know if we should have 0 trust in the FBI, but this is not helping. How can we trust the FBI? How can we trust the Justice Department? If you are losing things, I mean, look, I don't buy into tonight at 5 o'clock. We're back at the chalkboard and I'm going to give you 4 days of what Gazprom is, what this charge is against Hillary Clinton with
Uranium One.
Mm-hmm. And Uranium One, they dismiss. Everybody dismisses. No, you should not dismiss it. Just like you shouldn't dismiss what is going on with the investigation of Donald Trump. Is there anything there? I don't know. But we should have an independent and fair investigation so we all know the truth. If you look at Uranium One and you see the sequence of events, I'm sorry. Now, they've just made indictments on this, but the left, again, keeps saying, well, there is nothing there. Really? Would you just watch the chalkboard with me tonight? Can I get people on the right or on the left to watch the chalkboard? And you tell me. And watch it with an open mind. I'm not making any accusations that aren't proven, that aren't documented. I am laying out a sequence of events that is extraordinarily difficult to explain in any way that is innocent. Now, that doesn't mean that anyone is guilty, because more information needs to be found out or released. But there is a mountain of evidence that the FBI has that they have hidden and they have sequestered so no one, even in Congress, could look at it. You need to watch this series, Uranium One. Tonight, only on the Blaze TV, blaze.com/TV. Subscribe, and we'll see you tonight at 5 o'clock.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
I'm sure right now, you know, you're listening to this from inside the safety and security of your own government shutdown bomb shelter. This is not a test. The government is shut down. Panic. Unless you're in your government shutdown shelter. For those of you that did manage to venture out this weekend, to your horror, I salute your bravery. I do. I don't know how you did it. The shutdown now is entering its third day. The Senate has a procedural vote at noon today that could fund the government temporarily until February 8th. But I wouldn't hold out too much hope. The end is near. Don't crack the lid on your bomb shelter just yet. We'll notify you if the government actually does go back to work. The rumor is the relationship between the White House and Chuck Schumer is at an all-time low. Huh. Trump met with Schumer on Friday. Trump wanted the wall. Schumer wanted amnesty. You can imagine how that conversation went. Not well. This entire thing is ridiculous. The government is going to eventually get funded. Nobody's going to die. No asteroids are going to hit the Earth. But until that happens, we're going to be forced to watch grown men and women act like children, argue for things that, you know they probably don't have any chance of actually getting. Will the wall be funded from coast to coast? Now, anything is possible, but I doubt it. Will DACA become law? Well, let's not forget that Obama had to write an executive order specifically because he knew both parties wouldn't be able to successfully vote on it. So one side will eventually blink. The question is, which one? It's usually us. If this stretches through the week, we're going to get dangerously close to this affecting our men and women in uniform. Military families cannot miss a paycheck. They're not getting rich. I really think the people in the military should make what Congress makes, and what the military makes should be the paycheck for Congress. Our soldiers are risking their lives in combat zones, and now they have to worry about paying their bills back home. Both sides are to blame here. Both sides are using military families as pawns to argue for the highly improbable. You'd think that military families would be off limits in this power play between overgrown children, but they're more than willing to play that card, both sides. One Democrat actually tried. Here's Senator Claire McCaskill on the Senate floor pleading for an amendment to keep the paychecks going to the military.
I want to make sure that tonight we send a very clear signal that we don't want one moment to pass with there being any uncertainty of any soldier anywhere in the world that they will be paid for the valiant work they do on behalf of our national security.
Unbelievable. That's a Democrat, by the way, and you'd think the Republicans would jump at it and take it, but here's Mitch McConnell's response.
Is there objection?
Mr. President, reserving the right to object, we passed similar legislation during the government shutdown back in 2013. My hope is that we can restore funding for the entire government before this becomes necessary. I'm going to object for tonight, but we'll discuss again tomorrow. Therefore, I object.
And he put his head back under his shell. The turtle has spoken. Both sides are to blame here, and neither one seems to really care about the military. I, for one, just would like to end this stupidity. Get back to doing whatever it is you guys do, or not, really. I'm not that worried that you're not doing anything. You know, you have those super cool lunches at the Capitol Grill or whatever. I'll pay for your lunch. Just leave the rest of us alone, will you? Your arrogance and stupidity has severe consequences, and this country is already paying those consequences.
It's Monday, January 22nd. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All the world is but a stage. And didn't it feel like that? I mean, when you're watching the news, doesn't it feel like that? When you're watching this government shutdown nonsense and everybody is so upset about it, and you're like, I don't really care.
Well, if it wasn't a fictional play, we would have died from the government shutdown. However, that death would have only followed a death from the tax plan and global warming and any number of other things they've told us we're going to die of in the past couple of years. It's constant threat of death.
You know what's amazing to me is constant threat of death because there's a way to get rich off of it. There's a way to get power off of it. However, we are facing the greatest crisis, possible crisis, and the greatest utopian breakthrough in the history of time. At least known time. maybe this has happened on other planets. Maybe this has already happened to us and we're all living in the Matrix.
Eagles Super Bowl victory?
It could only be done by computer simulation.
Feels that way sometimes.
Yes.
Over 50, 60 years or so.
So there are so many things that actually matter. Venezuela. Have you even heard Venezuela in the news, really?
Very few. I mean, we've covered it many times. But yes, we've, you know, that has been completely undercovered, especially from the idea that this was a socialist utopia not too long ago.
Yeah.
That we were all supposed to look to for guidance for our real futures.
Right. Where's Sean Penn now?
Yeah.
Is he down helping? On the night of January 9th, for example, a hungry mob took 30 minutes to pick clean a grocery store in the eastern city. By the time the owner arrived, he had opened 5 months at the store he had opened 5 months earlier. The looters had hauled everything away from cold cuts to ketchup to the cash register. It just makes me want to cry. The people now are saying we either loot or we die of hunger. There are food shortages, fuel shortages. During the first 10 days of January, the Venezuelan Observatory for Social Conflict recorded 107 episodes of looting and several deaths in 19 of Venezuela's 23 states. But the figures don't capture the level of desperation. Where's the media on this? You know, we're so constant. We so worry about ourselves. Where are we with people with actual issues?
Well, this disproves a giant narrative, though, for the media. Again, yeah. If they had their way, if the left had their way, they would institute many, not every, but many of the policies that Venezuela implemented that led them to this crisis. And they are getting the results that were predicted and have shown to be evident every time those policies are enacted. So why would you focus on it? It doesn't help.
Try this on for size. Anybody see the news this weekend? Now, I want you to think about this statement. Now, it came from the Google CEO. Here is the statement. Google is a leader in AI development. As with fire, humanity needs to embrace AI for its benefits, but also understand its downsides. History shows you that countries that pull back don't do well with change. You have to embrace the change. AI will have a bigger impact than the discovery of fire. AI will have a bigger impact than the discovery of fire. I was writing in today. And I'm reading a book called Life 3.0. And I'm listening to it on Audible. And I just want to roll this by you. See why is it we're not paying attention to this at all?
When I left Puerto Rico, I did so convinced that the conversation we had there about the future of AI needs to continue, because it's the most important conversation of our time. The AI conversation is important in terms of both urgency and impact. In comparison with climate change, which might wreak havoc in 50 to 200 years, many experts expect AI to have greater impact within decades, and to potentially give us technology for mitigating climate change. In comparison with wars, terrorism, unemployment, poverty, migration, and social justice issues, the rise of AI will have
greater impact. Will have greater impact than wars, social justice, climate change. In mere decades, like two.
And remember, too, when they're talking about climate change, this isn't coming from a right-wing publication that's saying climate change won't be a big deal. They're saying it is going to be a big deal.
In fact,
this is just going to be a bigger deal.
In fact, I went to go find that. I had to play that for you because I went to go find that in the book. Not in the book. It's
so weird.
Yeah, it's edited out of the book. He's talking about, you know, when I left Puerto Rico, you know, what he's talking about is this meeting in Puerto Rico that all of the top scientists that we're all supposed to, you know, respect and revere and adore and take for whatever they say is God's honest truth. They had the biggest scientists in the world on AI, and they, you know, brought together for the first time people like Elon Musk, and Stephen Hawking, and the people who are gung-ho on AI and don't think it's ever going to be a problem. And they had a three-day conference. No press was invited. There were, I don't know, 300 scientists there from all over the world. And they had this conversation and decided that this is the most important thing that could hit us. And they signed a document saying, well, the world really needs to understand this. This was in 2013. It's now 2017. Nobody's talking about it. And that's okay. That's okay. I think people just think that this is some faraway, you know, sci-fi thing. But Venezuela's not. And what are we covering? What are we talking about? What are we doing in our own life? My son said to me this weekend, I don't understand why I have to, I'm diagramming sentences. So how do I have to diagram sentences? Well, you have to diagram sentences because at some point you are going to have to write letters or emails to somebody. No, Dad, I'm probably not. I'll just be able to speak. I know. Why do we have to study our scriptures all the time? Studying our scriptures all the time. I don't understand the point. Let me give you the point, son. The New Testament and the Old Testament, you don't have to believe them. Don't believe them. Walk away and say, I'm just reading this as history or allegories, stories. But that's the basic fundamental of human civilization for the West. Every time we go off of those, we enter dark ages. Every time we go too strongly into them and have certitude that we know, and so we're going to rid the world of all those people who are doing wrong, we go into the dark ages. This is the basic fundamental building block of society. How do we behave? How do we love each other? How do we forgive each other? 490 times I'm supposed to forgive you. What does that mean? Really? 490 times. Gotta forgive people 490 times. Then you know what that means? You lost count by then. Nobody's like, I'm up to 381 times accepting his apology. You're not counting. We are losing the very fundamentals of being even able to communicate with each other. We are in the communication age, the information age, and yet we're not communicating with each other. Our communication has gotten worse. We're in the information age. We don't know more. We know less. As I was working with my son last night on Kepler, he said, I don't know the answer to that, Dad. And I said, you don't have to know the answer anymore. You don't have to know. You have to know how to find the answer. That's it. We're not any more intelligent. We're not any more well-read. We have access literally to everything. Last night, I looked up a book that had been banned and then destroyed. Very few copies exist. It's on Kepler. It's called Kepler's Dreams. I had never even heard of it. It was the first sci-fi book ever written, like in 1609. And it's about moon, a guy who travels to the moon. That had never even been thought of before. Within 2 minutes, I was reading it. I downloaded it. I would have to work with my son on Kepler would have taken us weeks in a library when I was a kid. But we're not doing our homework. We see something on Twitter, we just repost it. We don't even read the whole story, let alone check out, see if it's right. And the media, the Guardians, they won't even watch their own damn movie. Watch the Post. Watch the Post. What's the point of the Post? Both political parties will use you. So you shouldn't be beholden to either side. You should never trust the government. Even your friends in the government. But they don't watch it. They don't learn from history. Nobody does. If we're going to survive, we need to start prioritizing. What matters most? And what problems should be at the front of the stove? And what problems can we just set back for a while? So a few weeks ago, my my son-in-law and my daughter got a new Casper bed, and they had a bed, and my daughter has a bad back, and it was just killing her, especially with two kids. And so she said, "Dad, I got to get a mattress." I said, "Try a Casper, because if you don't like it, you just send it back." Because I had purchased a bed about a year or so before. And it wasn't Casper, and I tried it out at the store, and I loved it at the store, and I hated it every second of it once I got it home. So we bought a Casper, and we loved it. So I told my daughter, get Casper, try it out. So she did. We were just talking last night because, you know, we were talking about her health and, you know, everything else. And I said, "So how's your back doing? How do you like the mattress?" And she said, "Her and her husband, we love it. Why? Why? You want it back?" Because it was the one that when we had Casper give us a wave, I gave my son and daughter the Casper that we had just got. I said, "No, you could keep it. I just want to know if you like it." We love it. We love it. My wife and I love our Casper. We have the wave. They have the regular one. You can check out the difference. All you have to do is just go to Casper.com. Casper.com. It ships free. Try it out 100 nights in your own home, risk-free. If you don't love it, you don't have to put it back in a box. They'll come and pick it up and refund everything you ask or everything that you paid for it. And it happens right now. If you start your trial right now, 100 nights, you're going to have a great night's sleep. Casper.com. Use the promo code BECK. Save $50 on the purchase of your select mattress. It is $50 off right now. Promo code BECK. Casper.com.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
You seen the new movie Polka King on Netflix yet?
It's Jack Black, right?
Yeah. Right. It's based on a true story. We have the actual Polka King on coming up in about a half an hour. He has a fascinating story of a guy who left communism to come here, and then it all went wrong. Really interesting guy. We have him coming up. Also, Jordan Peterson is an incredibly astute professor. I want to play an exchange with him on television up in Canada. And you tell me, I mean, we're living in a parallel universe. That's coming up.
You've been talking a lot about kind of how our society is. It's sometimes unrecognizable.
Yeah.
What are we doing? What has happened to our society? Yes. I want to read you a sentence. Okay, from a news story I came across this weekend.
Okay,
and you tell me how this is a sensible society if we have not gone to a place where you can't recognize the world that
Wait
you're
until
in.
You hear the Jordan Peterson stuff, because it's right where I'm going. All right, go ahead.
Paddington 2.
Oh, dear God.
Paddington 2, which came in sixth place this weekend, made $8 million. Though the family sequel about the bear from Peru became Rotten Tomatoes' best reviewed movie ever this past week. The best reviewed movie ever in the history of film is Paddington 2. Not even Paddington.
You know what's worse? You know what's
it's
worse?
Paddington 2.
You know what's worse? Makes me want to go see it now.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Have you ever wondered what it would be like if if an alien came down and was fully engaged in truth and logic and would sit down with us or our reporters or whoever and would have a conversation, and every once in a while the alien would just look at us like, is it just me? You're not following here. And the alien would not be able to figure out our circular thought. I contend that is Professor Jordan Peterson. I want you to listen to this this audio of him on the BBC where he has stirred up a hornet's nest because he was talking about gender equality, et cetera, et cetera. But I want you to listen to how calm, how rational, and how clear he is. And then listen to the reporter who doesn't seem to get it at all. This is what it would sound like if an alien beamed down on a TV set today.
Jordan Peterson, you've said that men need to, quote, grow the hell up. Tell me why.
Well, because there's nothing uglier than an old infant. There's nothing good about it. People who don't grow up don't find the sort of meaning in their life that sustains them through difficult times, and they are certain to encounter difficult times. And they're left bitter and resentful and without purpose and adrift and hostile and resentful and vengeful and arrogant and deceitful and of no use to themselves and of no use to anyone else and no partner for a woman. And there's nothing in it that's good.
So you say, I mean, that sounds pretty bad. You're saying there's a crisis of masculinity. I mean, what do you do about it?
You help people understand why it's necessary and important for them to grow up and adopt responsibility, why that isn't a shake your finger and get your act together sort of thing, why it's more like a delineation of the kind of destiny that makes life worth living. I've been telling young men, I wasn't specifically aiming this message at young men to begin with. It just kind of turned out that way.
And it's mostly, you admit, it's mostly men listening. I mean, 90% of your audience is a men.
Well, it's about 80% on YouTube, which is YouTube is a male domain primarily. So it's hard to tell how much of it is because YouTube is male and how much of it is because of what I'm saying. But what I've been telling young men is that there's an actual reason why they need to grow up, which is that they have something to offer, you know, that people have within them this capacity to set the world straight and that's necessary to manifest in the world. And that also doing so is where you find the meaning that sustains you in life.
So what's gone wrong then?
Oh, God, all sorts of things have gone wrong. I don't think that young men are... hear words of encouragement, some of them never in their entire lives, as far as I can tell. That's what they tell me. And the fact that the words that I've been speaking, the YouTube lectures that I've done and put online, for example, have had such a dramatic impact is an indication that young men are starving for this sort of message, because like, why in the world would they have to derive it from a lecture on YouTube? You know, they're not being taught that it's important to develop yourself.
But does it bother you that your audience is predominantly male? Isn't that a bit divisive?
No, I don't think so. I mean,
stop. I just want to go over what he just said. That there are many men who are not growing up. They are not taking responsibility for their life, and that will give their life no meaning. They will become bitter, resentful, vengeful, deceitful, and alone. That's a ticking time bomb. Okay. So what does he say? Don't shake your finger at them. Show them that they need to be responsible because they can make their own life worth living. All positive.
Right. There's an incentive there. It's not just doing it out of right. charity. You're doing it because it actually is good for you as well.
We don't want you to be vengeful, resentful, deceitful, and alone. We want you to have meaning in your life. And it's that... you have value, but nobody's ever said that to you, as he says. No, they're not encouraged. Nobody has, and they're coming to him in droves because they're starving for the message. Listen to the message. I'm starving for the message that I need to grow up, that I need to be responsible, that I need to take control of my own life, that I can't be a kid for the rest of my life. They're starving for that message. And she says, well, isn't that a bit divisive? What part of that is divisive? We're trying to build a better citizen. We're trying to build a better spouse. We're trying to build a better man. Isn't that divisive? No, they're starving for that. Women are getting that message everywhere. You could do anything. You could be anything. Men are no longer getting that message. They need to hear that message as well. We have overcorrected. That's not, divisive. That's encouraging that men want to be better. Listen.
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's no more divisive than the fact that YouTube is primarily male and Tumblr is primarily female.
Isn't it?
Tumblr is primarily female.
But you're just saying that's the way it is.
Well, I'm not saying anything. It's just an observation that that's the way it is. There's plenty of women that are watching my lectures
Stats.
And my talks and buying my books. It's just that the majority of them happen to be men.
What's in it for the women, though?
Well, what sort of partner do you want? Do you want an overgrown child? Or do you want someone to contend with that's going to help you and that
you can
rely on?
Women have some sort of duty to sort of help fix the crisis of masculinity.
It depends on what they want.
It's not what he was saying at all.
She's
just itching for a fight.
Yeah. So she says, why would women be interested in a message about bettering men? And his answer is, well, I mean, what kind of partner do they want? Do you want someone who's responsible and it can be an equal? Or do you want someone who's,
a kid.
A kid. Oh, so women have a responsibility to make men better? That is not what the setup question was. What his answer was. Nowhere in there was that even hinted at.
In fact, he's saying he's giving this message. He's giving it. You're bashing him for giving the message, and then you're interpreting that you are now, you're going to burden me with having to give that message. I have to give it. No, I'm giving the message right now, and men are starving for it.
And the only reason the topic was brought up was because of her question. She asked it. He answered it, and then she acts shocked that he would bring it up. Well, he brought it up because you asked him the question.
Continue.
For the women, though.
Well, what sort of partner do you want? Do you want an overgrown child? Or do you want someone to contend with that's going to help you and that
you
can rely on?
Women have some sort of duty to sort of help fix the crisis of masculinity.
It depends on what they want.
Do men have a responsibility?
It's exactly how I laid it out. Like, women deeply want men who are competent and powerful. And I don't mean power in that they can exert tyrannical control over others. That's not power. That's just corruption. Power is competence. And why in the world would you not want a competent partner? Well, I know why, actually. You can't dominate a competent partner. So if you want domination...
Want to dominate, is that what you're saying?
No, I'd say women who have had their relationships impaired, their relationships with men impaired and who are afraid of such relationships will settle for a weak partner because they can dominate them. But it's a suboptimal solution.
Do you think that's what a lot of women are doing?
I think there's a substantial minority of women who do that. And I think it's very bad for them. They're very unhappy. It's very bad for their partners, although the partners get the advantage of not having to take any responsibility.
But what gives you the right to say that? I mean, maybe that's how women want their relationships, those women. I mean, you're making these vast generalizations.
Oh, God.
I'm a clinical psychologist.
Right, so you're saying you've done your research and women are unhappy dominating men.
I didn't say they were unhappy dominating men. I said it was a bad long-term solution.
Okay, you said it was making them miserable.
Thing. Yes, it is. And it depends on the time frame. I mean, there's intense pleasure in momentary domination. That's why people do it all the time. But it's no formula for a successful long-term relationship. That's reciprocal, right? Any long-term relationship is reciprocal, virtually by definition. So
let me put a quote to you from the book, where you say, there are whole disciplines in universities forthrightly hostile towards men. These are the areas of study dominated by the postmodern / neo-Marxist claim that Western culture in particular is an oppressive structure created by white men to dominate and exclude women. But then I want to put
minorities to you, too dominate.
Okay, sure. But I want to put to you that here in the UK, for example, let's take that as an example. The gender pay gap stands at just over 9%.
This is agonizing.
You've got women at the BBC recently saying that the broadcaster is paying them less than men to do the same job. You've got only 7 women running the top FTSE 100 companies.
Yeah.
So it seems to a lot of women that they're still being dominated and excluded, to quote your words back to you.
It does seem that way, but multivariate analysis of the pay gap indicate that it doesn't exist.
But that's just not true, is it? I mean, that 9% pay gap, that's a gap between median hourly earnings between men and women.
But
that
exists. Yeah, but there's multiple reasons for that. One of them is gender, but it's not the only reason. Like, if you're a social scientist worth your salt, you never do a univariate analysis. Like, you say, well, women in aggregate are paid less than men. Okay, well, then we break it down by age. We break it down by occupation. We break it down by interest. We break it down by personality.
But you're saying basically it doesn't matter if women aren't getting to the top, because that's what's skewing
that
gender pay.
That's exactly a great summary there of what he said. Basically, what you're saying is it doesn't matter if women are getting to the top. Well, I mean, what he's saying, this is such a fascinating point, because she is doing a very detailed throw crap against the wall and see what sticks sort of fight here. You know, she hits him earlier for giving vast generalizations. And then her next point is, if you take all women and all men and divide their income, it comes out to be 9% higher for men.
Wouldn't that be
a mass generalization? The exact thing you were just criticizing him about? And of course, like, just because there's a difference between the two doesn't mean that it's bad, right? Like, I mean, and we've talked about the pay gap over and over again. He is correct in his analysis of it, in that when you break it down by age and you break it down by experience,
several factors
and education levels and choice of career paths and all of these other things, what you find out is there is basically no pay gap whatsoever.
There's also something else. And Niall Ferguson has written a book. I think it's called The Square and the Tower. And he's talking about networks. And he says one of the reasons why women are not, you know, dominant at the upper end of the spectrum is because they don't have the network. Men have a network that has been going forever and ever. And quite honestly, some of the stuff that is happening now is actually hurting the women making a network, because guys are starting to say, I don't know what I should do. And so they're not coming into the net. They're not coming into the network. If you don't have a network, think about this, conservatives. If you don't have a network, you miss power and opportunity. I mean, look at what's his name? Sank, what's his face from the Young Turks. Did you hear this? So, you know, everybody, every single source on the right is hate mongering and can't be trusted. But the Young Turks, which we have to find some stuff that the Young Turks have said, the Young Turks get $20 million in funding, $20 million for this crazy group of people. Do you know that Dan Rather just signed to do the evening news for the Young Turks website? Dan frickin' Rather? Now, A, it tells us exactly what we need to know about Dan Rather, and he confirms everything that you ever suspected. But Dan Rather joins the Young Turks this weekend, and the Young Turks will go mainstream. Why? Because they're part of the network. Fresh start, new year. How are you doing on your goals? My goal is to get healthy this year and to lose weight. I've lost 9 pounds so far since the new year, and feeling good about it. Also, the other thing that I'm working on is moving our company into next generation, and I feel good about that. Now, if you're running your own business, you know that you have to have the right people around you. ZipRecruiter can help you transform your team and transform the way you find people. ZipRecruiter will post your job over 100 of the web's leading job boards with a single click, and that is helpful. However, what they do after that is more important. They actively go out and find the most qualified candidates and invite them to apply for your job. So other hiring sites, they just wait on the candidates to find you. This is why 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in the first day. ZipRecruiter, absolutely the smartest way to hire. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified candidates with immediate results. And right now, you can post that job for free on ZipRecruiter. Do it now, free. ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. Change the way you're doing business. Change the way you're hiring. Hire the right person the first time, fast. ZipRecruiter.com/Beck.
Glenn Beck, Mercury.
So every day when I'm at work, I got to wear out the headphones. The headphones are a requirement, of course, for doing this stupid industry that I'm involved in. But they have these special headphones you have to wear on TV, and they kind of stick into your ear. They're sort of like earbuds, but they're custom fit. You have to go to the doctor, and they mold your ears, and they stick these things into them. It's kind of weird. And I was talking to the doctor while I was there, and he said, you know, you just want to make sure you keep your ears clean when you're using these things because it can be really gross if you don't. And I, of course, took that as what it was, a complete insult. Of course I keep my ears clean. I use Q-tips, right? That's what you do. Well, apparently not. And that's according to, you know, the people at Q-tip. Look at the box. The box does not say that they're for cleaning the inside of your ears. It's not even what they suggest you use them for. It's such a strange thing we've all been doing for such a long time. Well, WaxRx proudly says what their product is for is cleaning your ears. That is what it is for. It is a the method that physicians trust the most, and it's like the system they use in their offices. It comes with everything you need to safely clean out earwax and condition your ears conveniently at home for less than the cost of a doctor's visit. Go to usewaxrx.com. You can order your reusable ear wash system there, and you can use offer code radio and have it shipped free right to your door. The promo code gets you the free standard shipping. It's waxrx.com, promo code radio. Use the system designed to clean your ears when you're cleaning your ears. Use waxrx.com, promo code radio.
Glenn Beck.
The presenter on the BBC with Professor Jordan Peterson kind of shows that there is it's almost impossible to have an honest conversation with somebody with the media. And it doesn't get much better here in the United States, as you know. Here is Jim Acosta. He was questioning the White House about this, about why they call it the Schumer shutdown. Listen to this.
How can it be the Schumer shutdown when Republicans control the White House, the House, and the Senate?
Come on, you know the answer to that as well as anybody. I mean, I have to laugh when people say that, oh, we control the House, the Senate, the White House, why can't you get this done? You know as well as anybody that it takes 60 votes in the Senate to pass an appropriations bill, right? You know that.
I know that.
Okay, so when you only have 51 votes in the Senate, then you have to have Democrat support in order to keep the government, to fund the government. So that's the answer to your question.
Yeah, you shouldn't challenge Mulvaney on stuff like this.
No,
he's way too smart for you.
And, you know, Jim, if you would like, because they have control, they can pass it with 51 votes. Except, you wouldn't like that, would you? You wouldn't like the nuclear option.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
Here is a story that the left will print, but not really focus on for very long. Great Britain's government healthcare system is falling apart. Now, that's not a conservative talking point. That is from the New York Times when they reported on it. The headline was British National Health Service in Crisis. The head of Britain's National Health Service warned that the system is overwhelmed. What a surprise. Who could have seen this coming? Last year, he requested £4 billion in additional funding. He only got £1.6 billion. He also oversaw a time where 10,000 nurses quit. Now, the crazy thing about the New York Times report is that all of the things that conservatives criticize about socialized medicine, all of the reasons we say it's a bad idea, it's unsustainable, it will not work, are actually happening. And here's the crazier part. The New York Times wrote about it. It's the kind of worst-case scenario stuff that the left makes fun of the right for talking about. For example, quote, hospital hallways jammed with beds of frail and elderly patients waiting to be admitted. Outpatient appointments canceled because there aren't enough doctors to meet demand. Patients waiting over 12 hours in emergency rooms before receiving care. Undergraduate medical students being asked to volunteer to help ease the crush of patients. 2 weeks ago, hospitals were ordered to postpone all non-urgent surgeries until the end of the month. Many British hospitals are also declared black alerts, meaning they cannot meet patient demand. On Twitter, British doctors describe their overcrowded hospitals as third world conditions, forcing them to practice battlefield medicine. The NHS director warned that the patient waiting list will grow to 5 million people by 2021. That's the highest number ever. If this were not in the New York Times, no one on the left would believe it. You wouldn't believe it if I said it. In fact, I have said it was coming for a long time. A British construction worker learned the news from the latest rounds of thousands of postponed surgeries. He said, "If I receive a notification, it'll be the third time my operation is postponed. This is a disgrace. We injure ourselves while working to pay our taxes, and the government just leaves us to suffer." Are you listening, America? Are you really listening? If you are still interested in that Bernie Sanders government healthcare plan, maybe you need a lesson in critical thinking.
It's Monday, January 22nd. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So Netflix has a new movie out with Jack Black. It's called The Polka King. And The Polka King is an actual guy. And I started looking into him and I thought, we have to talk to this guy. His name is Jan Lawan. And he is from Poland. He was born in Nazi-controlled Poland. And grew up under the Soviet Union, came over here, wanted to make it big, fell into a Ponzi scheme. I should say he started a Ponzi scheme and others fell into it. He lived the high life, met the Pope, Pope John Paul II, had real notoriety in the polka world. His music was nominated for a Grammy, and then he went to jail where he was stabbed in prison. He is out now. And has a whole lifetime of interesting stories. Welcome, Juan Lawan. How are you, sir?
Fine. How are you?
Very good. So let's start with when did you come over here in the United States, and what was life like back in Poland for you?
Well, when you live in a communist regime, the life is terrifying every day. You couldn't trust nobody, and you're living always with the fear that you're going to be punished for anything. So life in the communist is definitely a very negative, very depressing life.
And when did you come over here? What time period?
To United States, I arrived in 80s. In 1980, actually. Early, I was coming for the performing for the ethnic festivals. I was living in Canada first, and they were bringing me here to the States time to time. And then in '80s, I came here permanently.
So you came under at the height of the Cold War with Ronald Reagan, which must have been.
It's exactly it.
How do you remember those days as somebody from Poland? The Reagan years and the Pope John Paul and Margaret Thatcher years.
That was the turning point in Poland. Finally, the oppositions start growing, included Solidarity. Movements with Lech Wałęsa, mm-hmm. and that gave power to oppositions to succeed and actually thanks to Lech Wałęsa, they succeed eventually to get the back freedom in Poland. And of course, they were behind 50 years. So, you know, we didn't have a proper education. So you have to belong to the Communist Party, your parents, then you were, you'll be assigned to the better school. You can learn English. In my case, my parents did not want nothing to do with the communists. So they not only lost the job, but I was learning Russian instead of English. Yeah? Mm.
So you come over here, you move to Pennsylvania, and you become the Polka King. Tell me...
Well, okay, the Polka King, you know, that it came along because when I guess your question is how I went to that. I learned that nostalgia to Poland for the people who came here after the Second War, and many of them cannot go back to Poland during the communist regime. Many cases they will find out in jail. Since they didn't come back to Poland after Second War. So that was the tier on this, and they were all just there for me because I was start learning English a little bit, but I was speaking Polish. And then I due to my education in Poland in the theatrical school and this, I wasn't ready for that kind of entertainment with the polkas and this. And I found that when I turned the Polish folk music to polkas, I gained lots of viewers. I mean, my concert hall and festival, they were full to the last seat because they loved that broken English, Polish.
Right.
You know, it's,
right.
That's the way it goes.
So you in the movie with Jack Black, you appear to be a wide-eyed, I love America and I'm going to make it big. And it seems as though you don't really know what you're doing is wrong until later. But you started a Ponzi scheme. Can you?
Yes.
Tell me about it, and did you know that it was wrong at first?
No, not at all. I went with my accountant to for the legal advice, and I was advised that everything is fine. A couple of days later, we went again. Everything is fine. Go ahead. I wasn't told I have to register. That was wrong thing on the beginning. No, so I feel free to advertise. I this is perfect. That's again. How am I going to build the empire?
Right. Yes. And what were you selling people?
He created the promissory note, which I offered them 12%, and that was very easy for me on the beginning to pay that because in Poland that time everything was penny, and in America you sold for tens of dollars. So I created the gift shop. When you create the gift shop, you have to have money to buy these gifts, which I didn't have nothing. So people who travel with me to Poland, they saw on their own eyes, oh my gosh, that doll costs 25 cents here, and in America I pay $20. Yes, Jan, you should buy Poland. You should get everything to America, and you're going to get rich, and we're going to get rich. Sure, I go for it. So, and that's called start. Of course, later on I learn I'm doing illegal thing. That is illegal. Well, I already have huge merchandise in the silver, amber, dolls, and everything just to sell that. I wasn't able to sell when the accident came over, when the 9/11 came over, and all things fall in parts. My two musicians get killed. My son was suffering with terrible things. We all were suffering. So even though I was told don't do it, I was keep doing, because when you drown, you will catch anything. So I did wrong, knowing that I doing wrong, and I paid a high price for that.
Yeah, you went to prison for how long?
Almost 6 years.
And you were stabbed in prison.
Yes, because I should never finalize in such a terrible prison in Smyrna. That's just for people who commit terrible violence. Most of them, they were killers. And somebody like me with the accent, with lots of to be designed with the conversation, they thought, well, he is such a soft, you know, this guy is here for something what we call childless, which I have nothing to do with that. And they get angry. But that's what they say in media. My opinion on that is different. Something went wrong. Somehow, somebody did the job. And the guy who really cut my neck left and right, he got 25 years on the top of his life sentence. So make no difference for him. And why he did that, I still don't know. I was very nice to him. I bought him coffee in commissary and everything and keep conversation. And somehow, you know, he got me when I was sleeping.
So. When you can't trust a killer, who can you trust?
Thank you.
So, Jan, now you're out. Jack Black is playing you in a movie. What does the future hold for you? And what is your... what's your attitude about being here?
Well, before I go further, let me just say that I believe me, I'm very sorry for people who get caught in my situation, who lost the money. I will do everything possible to supply my restitution as much as I can, since I am faithful for that. But I never thought that movie gonna change my life. Jack Black told me that. We were talking for 6 months every night for 2 hours on the FaceTime. and he learned from the day I born, you know, how they got everything so perfect in the movie, I still don't know. I did send them some of my writing, what I was doing through this years in prison. They learned from that, but I think Jack Black was great influence to the script script writers, Maya and Wally, that they did so perfect, because I don't see, it may be 10% Hollywood, you know, that is. But now the movie give me opportunity. I have right now in thousands of very nice comments, of course the negatives as well, but next to, I should say, well, if they're writing to me, they probably just writing positive way. So, but the point is that they asking me right now to do the concerts, and I willing to do that. My music director, Steve Kaminsky, who actually saved the music in the movie, we have top-notch arrangements for big band polka. It's not like regular dancing small thing, okay? I don't know. Did you saw the movie?
I have not yet. I've seen several clips of it, but I have not seen them.
I wish you will see the movie.
I will. I will watch it.
So that is my cameraman, John Kotterba from Lighting Video. He supplied them with all of the footage, which he traveled with me all the time. You're going to see that in the movie. They did everything. I mean, my gosh, fantastic. I hope I'm going to generate, because I don't need money anymore. I want to give to people who suffer over that. And I'm so sorry. Believe me, I am sick over that. So,
Jan Lawan, it's a pleasure to talk to you. And I'm sorry I didn't watch the movie. I had plans to watch it with my family this weekend, and something came up, so we didn't watch it. But I'm anxious to see it. You have led a very interesting life, and I wish you all the best, sir. God bless.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your time.
So to review, guy comes over from Poland. He's a polka king. He starts up a Polish gift store. He gets people to invest in the store by promising them 12% and 20% returns. That apparently is illegal, but he's too far in the hole to pay the money back, so he has to continue the illegal activity. He goes to prison over it, and then he gets stabbed in prison in the neck.
More than stabbed. He had his throat cut.
Throat cut in prison. And then his life, you know, right now, the story so far, and I'm not to say that there's not a lot more to this, but right now it ends in a Jack Black movie that just started came out on Netflix. It's perfect, and it should be a Jack Black movie.
Yes, it is. We live in a parallel universe, man.
I really want to see it. Yeah. The movie's called The Polka King. There's not only a Jack Black movie, but also a documentary that are both on Netflix now if you're interested in the story.
Yeah, it's I saw parts one. Of the documentary. He's a fascinating guy. All right, researchers found two really significant security flaws in chips that are used in nearly every PC, every server, every smartphone, every tablet. You know, if it says Intel, it has a backdoor to it. Hackers can potentially use these flaws to steal data stored in the memory, including passwords and files. They've put a patch out, but until those chips are all replaced, you know, you're at risk. Now, here's the thing. 1 in 4 people have already experienced identity theft. You will experience it in your lifetime. It's getting more and more common. The people over in Russia, I mean, this is what they do. Thieves can take your information, sell it on the dark web, get an online payday loan in your name, take and do all kinds of things with your name and your identity. But LifeLock is there to detect a wide range of identity thefts. And if you have a problem, there's a U.S.-based restoration specialist that's going to work to fix it. Nobody can prevent all identity theft, monitor all transactions at all businesses, but these guys are the best, and they will uncover the threats that you might miss elsewhere. So join LifeLock now. Get 10% off with the promo code BECK. That's 1-800-LIFELOCK, or go to LifeLock.com. Use the promo code BECK. That's BECK. Save 10% now. LifeLock.com.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. Glenn Beck.
So I got right on Facebook when the NFL alerted me that it was going to be the Vikings and the Patriots.
Oh, did they?
You didn't know that?
No, I must have missed that.
Oh,
update.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, Facebook. The NFL accidentally released an ad call for your Super Bowl tickets now available. Patriots Vikings.
Huh.
And it was didn't turn out that way.
It did not turn out that way. Yeah. Thankfully. No offense, of course, to the Minnesota Vikings fans who they had a great season, but the fact that the Eagles are going to the Super Bowl this year
should prove that we are in a parallel universe.
It may. It's, you know, it's such a pleasant surprise with all the kind of craziness that's been going on. Again, as a big Eagles fan, this is something we take
now,
seriously when there's opportunities.
Even as an Eagles fan. Mm-hmm. There's not a chance in hell that they're going to win against the Patriots. I mean, I'm not even a sports fan, let alone a football fan, and even I know that.
Well, you hold out hope. I would say they're definitely the underdogs going in. Sure.
Sure.
And I'm not one of those Eagles fans that's... there's a lot of people who are overly confident and maybe like talk trash. I do not do such things. I've been around for too long.
Wait. Philadelphia fans might be talking trash?
Apparently, you know, some full beer cans will be thrown from time to time. Some greased poles climbed.
I'm just saying, they're not done paying for attacking, you know, I mean, the Lord's emissary.
With this.
You know, Santa. You just don't put an ice ball to Santa's head. You just don't.
I believe it showed
their love.
He was
on the Lord's work.
It showed their love of Santa Claus because it wasn't actually Santa Claus. They were upset the real one didn't show. And that's why they got an ice ball to the head.
Well, we'll see how things work out.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. Glenn Beck program.
So we brought Pat Gray in for Pat Gray Unleashed, and Pat's excited about the government shutdown, and I'm personally excited about the asteroid that CNN says that the government is not going to be able to track.
Well, thanks to Donald Trump, we're probably going to die within the next few days.
You know, can I tell you something?
Can't track it without the money, right?
No. And you know that the government,
if an asteroid were going to hit the planet, you know the government would
tell
us.
That's not an essential function of the government.
No.
To make sure nothing hits the planet. Why would you burn yourself?
Yeah, mail is much more important.
Oh, way more.
Yeah.
Way more.
So we can't. I'm actually rooting for the asteroid. Myself.
Well, it's going to be a near miss, like 2.6 million miles, they think.
Holy
shoof.
That close.
Wow. Just a
that close.
Close enough to warm up the paint. That's,
well, with the government shutdown, though, we don't know if it's going to be 2.5 or 2.7 million miles.
We'll never know.
We'll know probably after. But we won't know until after.
Can you imagine if there was danger and they're like, nope. Sorry, there's no money. I can't look at it. I can't even look in the telescope. That's how broke we are right now.
And there's no one that's like, you know what? I'm going to do this one for free. You know what? It'll wipe all life out on planet Earth. I'm going to do this one. You know what? You don't have to charge me overtime. I'm just going to sit here and do it.
And we go through this every single time. And there's been 19 shutdowns since 1976, was it?
Oh, my gosh.
So we've been through this over and over and over again. And every time, you know, all the essential things that have to happen. People get their social security. We get the mail, even though I don't want it. Veterans get their pay. You know, if it was so easy to take care of things over the weekend that people were upset for the troops because they weren't. Initially, they weren't going to get the NFL broadcasts overseas.
Which is a fascinating development.
They fixed that in about 5 minutes.
Yeah, they fixed it in about 5 minutes. So I guess that's an essential...
It is an essential function of the government.
I love, obviously, that our troops were able to listen to the games. And I'm fully in support of that. But we've been told for, the entire year that the country is boycotting these games because they're not patriotic enough. And now we must. It's an essential function of the government to get our troops access to these NFL games.
You're not supposed to think about that.
And it really shows you... I mean, it really shows you how desperate everybody is for a crisis. Asteroids. Mm-hmm. That would be an essential thing that the government should do to make sure that the Earth isn't destroyed during this time.
Right.
And then they compare asteroids and people. Children are going to starve to death. But they sure went into action for the NFL to get the truth. I mean, that shows
immediately.
Yeah, that shows what essential really is.
Yeah, it does. It does. And now they're saying that we may be completely in the dark for the State of the Union address at the Capitol building.
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
Love that.
Yes.
The Union by candlelight. Oh, that would be the greatest thing of all time.
And not televised.
Don't televise it.
Oh,
it wasn't supposed to be. I mean, obviously it wasn't supposed to be televised at the beginning because they had a problem with no televisions.
It was always a letter.
But yeah, it was supposed to be a letter. It's just an update on how we're doing. That's all it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be the spectacle. It would be great if they backed off of that and just turned. You know what? I'm not doing this anymore. Screw you guys. I'm going home. That's what I want. I think you should do it whether the government shut down or not.
Me too.
I mean, I have to tell you something. I'm rooting for the government shutdown and the asteroid. not the asteroid. If we can keep the government from doing anything, you know, then I'm good. Then I want to live. If this is... Yeah. If we are in such an upside down world that, you know, at times you just look at everything and you're like, there's nothing that makes sense anymore.
It's not surprising anymore, is it, that depending on what party you're in, you take the opposite side last time.
Yeah, no matter what.
Both parties do the exact same thing every time one of these shutdowns happen. It's not a big deal. It is a big deal. It's earth-shattering. It'll be a few days, and all essential things are still going to happen. And then they just switch sides the next time.
I would still be pissed if the veterans from World War II could not go to the memorial. I'd still be pissed.
Yeah.
Even though the Republicans were doing it. But how many Republicans would be pissed? Hopefully all of them. Hopefully all of them.
Hopefully, but that's not how it works anymore, is it?
I know. No.
It just doesn't work that way.
Just ignore it.
Can we do an Overton Window moment here for a second, though? You remember the book Glenn wrote, Overton Window, which, if you don't remember this, it was a theory by a think tank. That basically said, like, the window of available policy options that we look at gets moved by the debate. So, you know, we are constantly fighting within that window. Both parties are picking something, but sometimes the entire window just moves to the left or moves to the right.
Somebody, a powerful force will come and they will move it all. For instance, we would have never done the Patriot Act. Never. 9/11 moved the window. And so all of a sudden we were talking about fascism. And it was so far down that way that we were happy with the Patriot Act. Mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Right. Where we would never have accepted that before.
And this is happening here with this debate on the shutdown. The shutdown is currently happening because both sides, the left and the right, are arguing which one wants to enact DACA more. This is a policy that is new to this country as of 2014. Yeah. In fact, what we're talking about, if this goes away, is going back to the policy of the first 5 years of the Obama administration. And we are both sides are sitting here arguing, no, there's absolutely no solution that does not give amnesty to these people.
And by the way,
there's no one arguing.
Amnesty was the thing that everybody's called a racist for. If you voted for Donald Trump, you were a racist because you didn't want amnesty.
Right.
Now, amnesty is definitely on the table and nobody's saying anything about that. They're arguing how fast that amnesty is going to happen. Yeah. Is it going to happen tomorrow or today?
And not only is it for the Dreamers, but the latest proposal is their parents, too. Mm-hmm. So the parents who brought them and are responsible for this illegal activity, they're also going to be granted amnesty.
It's incredible.
So you've gone from the 3.2 million Dreamers to, who knows, 5-6 million illegal aliens?
And remember, the Dreamers Act happened in the second term of the Obama administration. Did it not?
DACA. Yeah, DACA is a little bit different than the Dreamers, but they're lumped in together often. Yeah,
and that was an executive order because he couldn't get it passed.
Right, and now both sides are falling over each other to say how in favor of passing that thing that they couldn't get passed during Obama. Yeah. How in favor they are? We want this to happen more than the other side. Both sides are saying that. This is something that Obama couldn't get done because the Republicans fought against it. They cared about stopping illegal immigration. Now, of course, there's a nuanced discussion to go on about, these people who were brought here as children and are now older. And maybe if they have no, it wasn't their fault, obviously. They came here. Their parents brought them. They didn't know, blah, 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 blah. We know all the nuance because that's all they ever talk about. But that was never the position of the conservatives. It used to be the litmus test against you as a candidate if you were a Republican.
Yeah. If you remember right, just 2 years ago, if you would have said on this or any other talk radio program, listen, after the border is secure, I don't mind if we talk about amnesty for those that are here. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Oh. It was your last day on the air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's why Marco Rubio was tossed to the side. Yeah. It's why
John McCain, to a large degree.
Yeah. That was one of his big problems, as he supported that. Orrin Hatch was another big one on the Dreamers bill. And people turned on him like crazy. I mean, and I think rightfully so in many ways.
And now it's the policy of the party.
Yeah.
From the top down.
It's actually, we're accusing the Democrats of not being pro-DACA enough.
Okay, so hang on just a second. So what's happened here? Is this a complete reversal of everything that conservatives believed about the rule of law? Or is this just a fulfillment of what we really perhaps believed after border security? And we're just now just assuming that Trump's going to get the border done. So in other words, like I'm for, talking about amnesty.
Yeah,
talking
after you secure the border.
After no one else comes through.
Right.
And once it's secure, then I'm willing to look and say, look, let's talk about the people here and sort through people. I'm willing to do that. Always have been. However, not until security. So have we just accepted that Donald Trump is going to get that border security done? It's already done. So why not just talk about it?
Well, I think indications are the opposite of that. I think they've backed off getting that done. They're not concerned about the wall as much anymore because he just wants a significant portion, whatever that means.
Yeah, I mean,
it doesn't have to be built everywhere.
Even the administration themselves are saying that they've given a lot of ground to Democrats because right now they're trying to tell everyone that they're working towards a common goal. So they've admitted that they've given a lot of ground.
Again, let me play the average Trump voter, I think, that says, look, I didn't expect an entire wall. It's unreasonable to think that. It was fun to think that. It was...
Yeah, you didn't say that during the campaign, however.
I know that. But yeah. But mm-hmm. you know, let's give people benefit of the doubt. It was fun to say that, and mm-hmm. it was great. All I wanted was a secure border. I don't care how you get it done.
Yeah.
So people yeah. are just saying, look, border crossings are down, what, 60%? Mm-hmm. Border crossings are down. We are enforcing the law. Things are changing. You know what? I don't care. I mean, is that what's happening? I don't know.
Probably to a certain extent. And, you know, the fight gets old after a while, and we lose interest in it. And it's just, I don't want to hear any about it anymore. It's like the email scandal. It was like with Hillary, they keep bringing that up, and I'm almost done with that. I mean, aren't you? Are you sick and tired of hearing about the Hillary emails?
It's the emails, yes, that we're doing tonight. We're doing a four-part series. Tonight's part one on Uranium One. I'm telling
you. That's the part, though, that it hasn't really been covered.
No, yes, that is. And there is something really wrong. When you see we are covering the Uranium One Hillary Clinton scandal tonight for four nights, only on the Blaze TV, 5 o'clock. Don't miss the show. It's Blackboard. And I'm telling you, there is something really wrong there. And you tie that together with what the FBI did this weekend. We found out on Friday, they just, you know, oops, accidentally deleted 9,000 tweets from this FBI guy who was having an affair, talking about Trump, integral into the investigation. There's something wrong with the FBI.
It's despicable.
It is. And there's something very wrong. And as I made in my prediction, nothing will come of this, because both sides are in too deep with Russia, and it involves our Justice Department, our FBI. I would bet my life on it. And they're both in too deep. And so they're just going to back away and say, OK, well, here's some bad stuff, but not bad enough for anybody to really worry about. Don't you think?
Yeah, I do. Yeah,
we're never going to get the truth on Russia, and it's bad. And you know what?
We never got the truth on Benghazi either. Yeah. So
the same thing. It felt after a while. It was like, all right.
I don't know.
We said Benghazi how many times? Nothing's happening. You know, right. I mean, it just felt like it wasn't. I mean, they even made it into a really good movie and people didn't pay attention to it.
Did you see what Twitter did? And they about 700,000 people got a notice from Twitter this weekend that said, hey, in our records, we're just trying to make sure that, you know, people know that Russia is doing things, and you have retweeted some things from Russian bots. Did you see that?
I didn't.
Okay. So they came out with this. They sent it to, let me see if I can find it, 700 or 677,000 people, Americans who were caught up in this, and they just retweeted something that was fake from Russia, and it's now been, you know, tied to a Russian bot. If you look at the comments from conservatives on this, you were doing the bidding of Vladimir Putin, and you were doing it not with a troll, with a bot. Okay? Now, I would assume that the left, who also was doing the bidding of Vladimir Putin and tweeting stuff on Black Lives Matter, I'm assuming they got notifications as well. They better have. I haven't seen that anywhere, but they better have. And both sides ought to stop saying stuff about Twitter in this particular case and start saying, holy crap, I forwarded things from, thank you, Twitter. Thank you for letting me know that this was a Russian bot. I'd like to know. I don't care whose side you're on. I'd like to know if Vladimir Putin is trying to influence my thinking. I think that's a service. But that's not what you're hearing from at least the right that I saw over the weekend. And it was deafening from the left. I don't even know if the left was even informed.
I don't understand why this isn't the goal of all of this. You know, we were talking about the releasing of the memo, right? That's supposed to come out. And this Russia investigation is supposed to be about finding out what the hell Russia is trying to do to influence our elections and other things. And it's never about that. I mean, the whole release the memo thing, I want to hear it. I want to know what's in there. I obviously am interested. I don't know who we're asking to release it. I don't know who Republicans are asking other than the president.
It's going to compromise.
Yeah, I don't want it released if it's going to compromise.
We all want to see what it is, but I don't want the prosecution compromised.
But that's what I'm talking about, is the theater around it, right? Yeah. Like, there's a legitimate reason not to release this stuff, because you don't want to make it
into a situation where you're just scoring political points and you're going to screw up an investigation, because there could be something real there that we can actually get to something where maybe someone's prosecuted or who knows. So there's a reason to maybe not release it. But the point is, if they wanted it released, it's their own side that could release it.
Yeah. Here's the thing. You really just, you need to watch our special on Uranium One all this week. Blackboards all this week, 5 o'clock on theblaze.com/TV.
And Pat Gray Unleashed coming up in just a minute. I'm going to be joining him actually today to talk a little bit about a half an hour from now if you listen to theblaze.com/radio or watch on TV.
How's your sleep, Ben? Get a Casper mattress and have a great night's sleep. Casper mattress, a unique combination of foams that provide the right pressure relief and comfort so you wake up refreshed and balanced. It's made of breathable materials so you sleep cool, and you can try it in your own home for 100 nights risk-free. They'll ship it to you in a little tiny compact box for free. If you don't love it, you don't have to put it in the box. You just call them. They pick it up and they refund everything. No questions asked. Start the year off right. Try yours now for 100 nights in your home. Free shipping, free returns. It's Casper.com. Use the promo code BECK. Save $50 off the purchase of your mattress at Casper.com. Terms and conditions do apply.
Glenn Beck, Mercury.
I run my mouth for a living all day, basically, and it can be a little exhausting. I mean, it's not a real job, but it still could be exhausting. Plus, I do have all day meetings afterwards, and I've got a couple of little kids. At times, energy runs a little bit low. That's why I take Dawn to Dusk. Now, I get to that point in the afternoon where I just want to fall asleep on any couch that I can find. Dawn to Dusk is great. It solves these problems for you. It's a physician-formulated extended-release energy supplement which lasts up to 10 hours, increases energy, improves mood, and stimulates your brain, all with no jitters. If it's giving me jitters, I don't want it. That's not what Dawn to Dusk does. Now, a cup of coffee in the morning is fine. But unlike coffee, Dawn to Dusk can last up to 10 hours. It increases your focus, and it's a fraction of the cost per day. I swear coffee these days is like the price of a Kia. Dawn to Dusk is the product. Brickhouse Nutrition is the company, and it's brickhousestew.com. Right now, get 15% off a one-month supply, but only when you use offer code STEW at checkout. That's brickhousestew.com.
Glenn Beck.
Very important series of chalkboards begins tonight on Uranium One and Hillary Clinton and Russia, only on theblaze.com/TV. Subscribe, and we'll see you at 5.
Glenn Beck, Mercury.